Welcome to Got Your Milk, FX's The Strain Podcast. I'm Bubba, and with me, as always, through thick, through thin, it doesn't matter how many press are outside the house right now, talking about us, trying to get in my biz, with me is Mork. Mork, how you doing?
I'm doing real good, Bubba.
Now, Mork, what is this episode of The Strain feature?
Features partial violence and severe nudity, as long as there's not a penis attached to the body.
Thank you, FX's department. Mork, are you straining are you straining your voice to do that? That was perfect. That was
Sorry.
Really good. The beginning of every episode on FX, say this to all this fun stuff it has. And so, yeah, we this episode got us ready for violence, nudity, worms. It got us ready for everything.
Dirty bathtubs, everything. It was set.
Amen.
This one was a lot of fun.
This episode or this discussion we're having right now?
Both. Both to all you lucky people. How are you? We love you.
All right. If you're new to Got Your Milk, FX is The Strain Podcast. We are an offshoot of a podcast about Game of Thrones called The Joffrey of Podcasts. And download and listen to that podcast if you're a fan of HBO's Game of Thrones. But this is all about FX's The Strain from a non-book reader perspective. Mork has not read the book. Have you, Mork?
Nope.
I have not read the book. We could read the book theoretically to get some spoilers, but we are staying spoiler-free for you, our listeners.
Bubba, if you had read the books, would you tell me?
Maybe not after this episode. So we start every episode by giving out how many cartons of milk the episode has earned. And I think I went first last time, so more.
I think before we rate it, I think we haven't seen any milk now since the first episode. So
right, this podcast might be named incorrectly.
We might need to rename this. And should we change the scale instead of cartons of milk? Maybe we should worms.
Okay.
Subdermal worms. How many subdermal worms do you give this episode?
Okay, well, all right. Let's hear it. How many worms would you give this episode, Mork?
I am going to give it an 8+.
Whoa.
Right.
Mork. This episode, for me, of the first three, this was the weakest. It needed that ending. That ending finally allowed our hero F, his sidekick Nora, and Traitor Jim realize what they're facing, and so it needed that, and I'm excited to where these next couple episodes are going. But for me, this episode, painful, slow. Who would have thought I ever would have said, "Where's Gus?" But I would only give this 5 worms out of 10.
Oh.
But you liked it. Why do you go so high?
Well, we ended really strong.
End strong.
I think we're past the point of no return. Past the point of ignoring.
Right.
That since the dead plane landed, and that where we cannot ignore that something weird is going on. So I think we are about to dispense with all.
You think we're done with Zach in the custody battle?
God, I hope so. If F was a real father, he would have brought Zach to work with him that day.
Yeah.
And Captain Redfern would have eaten him.
That's true. Zach is the most important thing. Most important. What, Nora? Be right there. See you, Zach.
See you later.
All right, so we also talk about maybe our scariest scene of the week or our spilt milk scene of the week. And our scariest scene is obviously the scene that had us on the edge of our seat the most. The spilt milk scene of the week is the scene that made us groan and kind of ay-ay-ay-ay-ay the most. And so I'll go first with the scariest scene of the week. We needed that end scene. I gave this only 5 worms out of 10, but that final scene, where not even F is going to be able to ignore all that's happening, I liked that. That was my scary scene of the week. What about you?
I think when F was in the Arno house
earlier
in the day,
okay.
And it was a classic I'm alone in a house horror movie scene, and
right.
I thought they did a really good job.
Good. That was okay. And so now our spilt milk scene of the week, the scene where it kind of brought the whole episode down. I guess I'll go first again. And there were a lot of, I guess what I'd call fake scares, or that isn't even correct. But the one that's going to go for me was Bolivar. I don't want to say Bolivar's Ken doll moment, but that was that. You know, watching him relieve himself, then a close up of the toilet, I'm not sure I needed to see that, even though it was a surprise. And so I'll give it. It was a surprise, but
Something tells me you've never been to Burning Man.
No. What is this? Scurvy body parts are falling off Boulevard. What's happening here?
I don't know, but I want to see. I want to see more. I mean,
you want to see more? There's nothing to see here.
Well, I want
to
see.
If the police were like, nothing to see here, not even pubes. Boulevard, a.k.a. Gabe, is got a little waxing going on.
He certainly does, but we can see one of the first symptoms is hair starts falling off.
Ooh, right. Amen. So it's like Nair for your junk.
That is true.
All right, so did you have a spilt milk scene of the week, Mark?
I think, yes, anything having to do with custody.
Oh, was, even Delicious Kelly
was ridiculous.
Beautiful actress. I mean,
she's beautiful.
Very beautiful.
She can sing. She can dance.
She's the queen of romance. Do what you like.
She placed second in Modern Tap at the
but
Colorado
you're saying these
State
custody
Fair.
Scenes, they're just not working for you.
I don't think they're working for anybody.
For the show, you don't think they're working.
Well, I mean, there's a certain moment where I. When you think about the show, I think it should be retitled "The Strain" or "How to Be a Good Dad."
it's like a Hallmark card. This show,
a little bit, yeah. I think we should be on Hallmark Channel or Lifetime whenever we cut to Kelly staring at her scrapbook or whatever that was. But
she's going scrapbooking.
God bless her for doing it.
All right, so you heard how many worms we gave it out. You heard our scary scenes, our spilt milk scene of the week. We want your feedback. Just write to us. You can write to me directly, Bubba, on Twitter. You can write to me at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim, Fit and Trim on Twitter. We want to hear what milk has been spilt, what worms have been given out. We want to hear what scared you. We want to hear what you want, where you want this big budget show to go. So let's just jump right in now to our episode review.
Let's do it.
Oh, thank you, Mr. FX Mork. Very good. So the episode starts out, and we see a man kind of getting out, kind of walking through a high class apartment. And for a minute, I thought it was Mr. Palmer, the guy who's theoretically made the deal with the devil to keep on living. But as we go in and we pan across the table of kind of like ears and stuff, and it's imitation Christoph Waltz, but he's not a morning person. He kind of looks rough in the morning.
He looks pretty rough, yeah. As do I.
I look pretty rough in the morning and the evening, though. But
he puts new meaning to the term, I've got to put my face on.
Well, I don't get it. No.
Sometimes a lady will say...
Oh, I see.
I can't come out. I need to put on my face.
All right. So we saw the bald head from behind. I thought it might have been the monster, but then it kind of pans around. He does have like an ear, but he doesn't really have a nose. His teeth are kind of buck teeth. He's kind of got gopher teeth. And so we follow imitation Christoph Waltz as he puts on a nose, he puts on eyes, he puts on an ear and a wig. And you were saying we shouldn't call him imitation Christoph Waltz anymore. Why is that, Mark?
Well, I think in the morning he should be known as poor man's Michael Jackson.
So poor man's Michael Jackson. He doesn't have a nose. He's trying to be white, and so he's putting himself together.
And he also was a Nazi.
Right. And so he's putting himself together. And let me say that not only have these Nazis got life-saving worms and life-extending worms, but they have a great makeup department, because when all is said and done, poor man's Michael Jackson, he comes out okay. He looks pretty good.
He looks fantastic.
He's dressed to the nines. He's got the little brush to get the dust off his shoulders. Do you have one of those brushes, Mork?
He's got to, get that dirt off your shoulder.
And he's
that was Jay-Z, ladies and gentlemen.
And he's happy. He's excited. You can tell his plans are working, and he's pretty happy.
Yes.
But is that the only time we see him in this episode? No, we see him one more time.
We see him later. But now that I think about it, I'm pretty sure I saw him down at the JCC pool. And
why is that?
Well, I think he's obviously in very good shape. He needed to do a couple of laps. But you do not want to do that routine more than once a day. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, so we leave that behind, and it's about time we get to F in one of my least favorite characters, Everett's. So right. F, Nora, and Jim are waiting outside the CDC, and up comes Everett. And this, I'm demanding any sort of reality in a show about vampire worms and such is ridiculous. But to have the head of the CDC suddenly be like, okay, it's no longer about the disease and the plague or whatever. It's about saving face. Maybe he's in on it with
very noble.
Poor man's
Everett,
Michael Jackson.
Everett is actually he was raised by samurai.
The CDC is about saving us from disease. They wouldn't suddenly be in damage control mode. They'd be trying to, you know, and Everett, he does not seem too concerned about these missing bodies.
Well, they had a receipt. So it's not his fault. Now, isn't the CDC, and I don't know much about this stuff, so maybe there's a local branch, but isn't the CDC down in Atlanta?
The head of the CDC is in my hometown of Atlanta. What are you implying here, Mork?
I'm not implying anything. I'm just glad that I brought my UV light.
Okay. Now, remember, you drink when there's UV light. You do push-ups when F drinks milk because he's a recovering alcoholic, but he doesn't want to recover so much, so there's not so much milk.
Not really at all.
Now, I noted something in the opening credits, Mork, and I don't know if we're just not tuned into this, but do you see who scores the show?
I did see. It's the same gentleman as Game of Thrones.
Yeah, Ramin Djawadi, who is the guy who does the musical score of Game of Thrones, he also does this show. And so I tried to kind of listen for maybe similar things, similar beats, but it is a completely different feel he's giving here to The Strain. Any thoughts you had about the music in this show?
No, not really. I think that they do a pretty good job of all that stuff. So that's fine. I mean, I think the overall mood is enhanced by the music, but there's no matter how great a composer Mr. Nadel Azim is, that no matter how good a composer
Djawadi,
he is,
okay.
No matter how good he is, he cannot save the custody scenes or the seer scenes or what have you.
All right, so
this guy's work cut out for him.
As F is annoying his boss in the elevator, we see Jim has snuck off, and Jim places a call. He's like, hey, what have I done? And Jim, at least for a evil traitor, is at least realizing he could have really effed this up. And he's trying to schedule a meeting with his person at Stoneheart.
Well, he could have, although now that we know,
yeah,
you know, now that we know who he's in bed with, and not just as far as releasing the box out into the city, but who's running his wife's clinical trials over at Stanford.
Oh, good point.
We can only imagine what's really going to happen to his wife, only making his betrayal all the worse. And another reminder.
Yeah.
That Stanford Hospital should be shut down.
Evil Stanford.
Terrible place. They
the cardinal pick,
vampires.
Put an S on it. Pluralize it. Let's go.
Thanks a lot, Jim Harbaugh.
All right, so we leave Jim, and then we finally meet and get to know this fourth surviving passenger from the plane crash. It's a guy named Ansel, and they barely said his name, but what's his wife's name again here?
Anne Marie.
You said it about five times less than Ansel did as he tried to impart in everybody the name. So his wife is a bit upset that the news crews are outside his house. And I have to be honest, I know it's something, I work a bit in the journalism field kind of tangentially. Mm-hmm. And I honestly think that there wouldn't be a stalking of one of the survivors 2 days later. You know, yes, they would stalk the CDC, they'd stalk the mayor, they'd stalk the airport, they'd do a lot of things to try to get some answers. But stalking Ansel, the survivor, I didn't quite get it. And his wife, what was her name again?
Anne Marie.
Oh, thank you, Ansel.
Did I keep you in suspense?
So Anne Marie, she's like, oh, looking at that plane, it was like watching the towers during 9/11. And I don't know. That's Anne Marie. Keep it in perspective here. Yeah. Come on.
It was a bit much. I don't think Anne Marie knows that this is a TV show. So.
Now Anne Marie, and Ansel, they know. She knows that her husband, there's something wrong with him.
Yeah.
But she's like, "Are you going to go to the hospital?" And Ansel's like, "I'm not going back there." And this is just another reason why we should all be against Obamacare.
That's exactly.
Here, this guy's falling apart. He's got a pain in the neck. His eyes are bloodshot. He's got a pain in, you know, there's ringing in his ear.
He's got a wig. Yeah,
but he will not go to the hospital because of the death panel Sarah Palin warned him about.
You got to fill out all those forms. So after now, so we do not see what happened. I mean, we see a lot. We see the neck.
Yeah.
We see the eyes. So we know where this is heading.
Yeah, and that's for sure. And he's got a dog that he theoretically is friends with, but the dog later in the episode, not so friendly.
A lot of people don't know this. Spoiler alert, but that dog never liked Ansel. I just want to point that out.
I'm not sure I do either. I may be on the dog with this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else you want to say about this family drama Ansel's variety?
Yeah, I still don't care.
Come on.
Still don't care. I would like to see Ansel go bananas.
All right, so we leave Ansel, and I made a crack.
Anne Marie.
And so I made this crack, Mork, that we have our hero F, and he's like the rebel CDC doctor who won't listen to authority. He'll do whatever.
Yeah.
And sure enough, we follow up with our Russian exterminator, and sure enough, he's the rebel rat catcher. He's the rebel exterminator. Hey, boss, you want me to go to the mayor's house first when I've got like schools and hospitals? Well, okay, but I'll do it my way. I'll rebel against you by doing exactly what you say, boss.
I think.
And I'll flirt with you, cute secretary.
And I must say, I think we now know why the response times in this show are so bad. It's because anytime you call in somewhere, they pick up the phone, they just put you on hold.
Right.
She never picked
the
phone.
Cute secretary is too busy watching clips about the plane. And here's another thing. Why I'm expecting reality is stupid. But you're going to tell me that you're working for the city of New York in some official pest control, and yet you're allowed to dress like you're going clubbing and wear a badge.
Apparently.
And you work alone. There aren't, like, teams. You're like, I'm just going to do this myself. I'm a rebel Russian pest controller.
He's an outlaw. That's where it starts.
He is an outlaw. Now, last week, there seemed to be a million times where our good hero F would say, all right, I'm in charge. Goodbye. He didn't go back to the airport where Robert Davi was murdered. You know, he said a million things, I'm in charge. Like last week, he went to the pilot and he said, okay, he saw UV light, saw the pilot had worms. He's like, okay, we're in control. Let's leave the hospital. But we come, and now after confronting Everett, he and Nora are back at the hospital looking at the pilot. And the pilot is not doing too good, is he?
He's not doing too great, and I don't know. If they ever find worms beneath my skin, I would hope you're not supposed to talk about that, Bubba.
Oh, sorry.
I would hope that they would do a little more than just put me in a giant balloon.
All right, the boy in the plastic bubble.
The pilot in the plastic
bubble. Pilot in the plastic bubble. Now,
this is a classic.
Oh, sorry.
This is a classic good news, bad news situation.
What do you mean by that, Mork?
Well, you know, the pilot, Captain Redfern, asks how he's going to do.
Oh, yeah.
If he's going to die. So I think it's fair to say that the good news is no, you won't die. The bad news is that you're an immortal vampire. And
what did you think about F's questionable bedside manner about telling this sick guy, you're going to be fine, we're going to do this, and then later in the episode, smash the guy's brains?
Well, I don't think it
F,
does.
F kind of the AMA, Indian giver there.
The AMA would frown upon this. Let's be clear. But he is an outlaw.
He's a rebel CDC doctor. He's like, hey, we're going to get through this, you and I. It's going to be fine. If you have any, you know, if you take a turn for the worst, I'll smash your head in with a fire extinguisher.
That's exactly right. And truth be told, a lot of F's cases.
Yes.
A lot of F's cases involve him smashing someone's head in with a fire extinguisher. So this is par for the course for him. So he's not too concerned.
All right. So my girl Nora didn't like this F. I'll just tell the guy he'll be fine. And then she also has the smart idea where she's like, hey, I want to talk to that crazy old man from the airport.
That's right. Walder Frey.
Yeah, she's like, I want to talk to Walder Frey. I wonder, why do you think she suddenly had this vision of talking to him? Because he did just seem, I mean, once again, I think if you were realistically in this situation, he would have seemed like a nut job. Why suddenly say, you know what, I'm going to go talk to this old coot?
Well, he's a nut job in a nutty situation. Oh, so
true. Good point.
I think it's about time that they opened up their ears to listen to good old Abe, who a lot of people don't know this, but when he's not operating his pawn shop, he's also a moil.
Now, Judd, for our listeners like me who don't know what a moil is, what is a moil?
A moil is the man who performs the ritual circumcision, and
you think Abraham does it the old fashioned way?
I think
by
he does.
Sword.
I think he does. His name's Abraham, and he's got a jar with a giant heart in it.
Yeah, the telltale heart in it. Okay, so boy, Mork, you are educating me. And probably nobody else, but maybe our listeners as well. That's pretty good.
Well, it could be. It could be. Also, but apparently nobody educated good old Abraham on what perjury means.
He did. I don't care. But before we get to Abraham's little court case there, we follow Jim. And Jim is here just staring into a light. He's apparently been allowed into the boardroom. He's there at the conference table.
Greg is very powerful. Greg is,
that's a good
Greg
point.
Is real
like,
high
I want to
up
see
on the
Greg.
Corporate ladder.
So Jim is there, and who comes in but our poor man's Michael Jackson. And the poor man's Michael Jackson is having none of this. And one of the interesting things he does, though, is he presses a button on the wall, and like the shades kind of and the windows kind of tint, so there's less sunlight going in there. Ding, 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 ding.
That is true, although...
Although?
Although...
I don't think there's an although. He did do that.
Touche. Touche, Bubba.
Okay.
You caught me.
Sorry. So what are you trying to say, though? Sorry.
Oh, I thought maybe it was more for the mood.
All right. He's like, I've got Jim alone.
Jim's
Here's
alone.
Here's my chance.
I'm alone with Rudy. Who knows what could happen?
Rudy.
Who
Rudy.
Knows what could happen?
So apparently, Trader Jim has a positive, kind of heartfelt reason to betray humanity and let deadly diseases loose on the city. And that is that his wife needs some treatment. And apparently Stoneheart is tied to this. And Jim finds out, like a lot of Americans in this tough Obama economy, he's going to have two jobs and two bosses.
That is true. That is true. And another interesting footnote from Mork is Stanford is German for Stoneheart.
Oh, my God. Thanks. It all makes sense.
All coming together.
Because if I didn't know that, I would think a lot of this show doesn't make sense.
Well, that's okay. It's still a lot of fun.
Now, all right, so it's not just that his wife's now going to be able to get the treatment, but imitation Christoph Waltz, a.k.a. poor man's Michael Jackson, also hands Jim like a big kind of handful of cash.
A little bit of cashola.
All right, Jim is really not a hero. I don't want anybody to be like, it's okay what Jim's done.
I think it's totally fine.
And are we to assume that Greg is Mr. Palmer's assistant? Is that he keeps saying, I want to talk to Greg.
I thought
or is
that
this
was
guy
Mr.
Greg?
Johnson.
Mr. Johnson is Greg? Because it's confusing. We're still a bit unsure.
Palmer's valet. I don't remember. Right. Now, we didn't see, speaking of Mr. Palmer, we did not see him.
No.
He was
or
hanging
Gus.
Out, he was hanging out with, you know, with...
Maybe Gus Crispin?
With the man from Ipanema.
Oh.
And so I'm curious.
Sweet. That would be sweet.
I'm curious to see what, if anything, has happened to him.
Yeah, well, you're right. He met the monster last week, so it'll be interesting to see.
He met the monster, and I'm curious, how comfortable do you think the monster is in the parking garage? Wouldn't he be more comfortable at Stoneheart headquarters?
This monster used to living in a coffin / box of
That's
dirt.
True.
You know, he's low maintenance. That's what I look for in a woman. Low maintenance woman, low maintenance monster.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Just keep him in a box, and you'll be safe. So...
Okay, so next we're at Abraham's trial that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
And this judge, he's spending a lot of time. Maybe they don't have a lot of crime in Queens, but he's like, I'm willing to spend a good 10 minutes just kind of talking to this old man rather than saying, okay, the minimum fine is this.
Yeah.
You know, trespassing, go. Why, you know, the judge kind of wants to hear this crankety old coot Abraham story.
He certainly did. He certainly did. Now, I noticed something in the courtroom scene, and I admit that I only noticed it because I was trying to get a better look at lovely, lovely Nora.
And Nora's there, yeah. What was it?
She shows up, but there were a couple gentlemen in the back of the courtroom. who got up and excused themselves after Abraham started telling his story.
And oh, really?
It's possible. Is it possible these are functionaries of Evil Stoneheart Incorporated / Stanford University?
Okay. Well, you know what? One of them does look like Andrew Luck. So this is quite possible. No, I didn't notice that more. Great catch. I was so entranced by this judge who's, you know, he's like, I'll just touch the evidence of the sword and the cane. I'll just have this long talk.
Now, the judge is also fairly bald. So is it possible?
Is there a running theme in this show?
Don't trust bald people, I think, is the thing.
Well, think how drunk we would be if you took a drink every time you saw a bald guy. Or a woman, Jim's wife. Man, we would be just buzzed as you could be.
Absolutely, absolutely. So after the court scene.
After the court scene, Nora approaches Abraham outside. And she wants to ask him some questions. And Abraham, for somebody who wants to save the world, he's not trying the hardest. I mean, he's just like, you know what? If you don't don't accept what I say, later, lady.
Abraham does not have a lot of time to suffer fools. And
come on, Abe. She could help you.
Well,
Abe went to her saying, hey, you got to do these things. And now she's coming to you, Abe, saying, you know what? I want to hear more about what you're saying. And Abe's like, no, it's either 100% or zero.
I think one of the interesting subtexts of this scene is, and this all great television, whether we're talking about I Love Lucy or Dallas or Family Ties, all great television boils down to will they or won't they.
Family Ties did?
Well, sure.
Wait, Lucy did?
Well, yeah. Will Desi
beat up? I mean, they did. I know they had that baby. It was actually one of the biggest kind of events on I Love Lucy.
They did.
So we talk a lot about wigs. So I want to talk about
you don't
Abraham's...
You don't want to hear more about my theory about
the... Oh, will they or won't they?
Abraham, Nora, F love triangle?
I would love that. I really would. What... You think so? F is. I'm sorry. Abraham is playing hard to get. I'm kind of lost in the love triangle.
Well, I am too. But let's just say you heard it here first.
I think you've only heard it here. It's not just first, only here.
That is true.
Abraham F Nora love triangle. That's
another got your milk
kinky
exclusive
stuff, right? You know who won't be in a love triangle anytime soon is our boy Gabe, a.k.a. Bolivar.
Well, not without some very, very specialized gloves.
Right, but before we get to Bolivar and his need for help, I want to give a shout-out. We always talk about, we always mention F's wig.
Right.
But I want to talk about Abraham's chin wig. That little goat wig that he's wearing, really fun, really nice. I think I could wear one. I think I could rock that look.
I think you could too. I think it'd look great, especially with that new plaid suit you bought for
I'm getting
labor.
The mighty Boston Stones back together.
They're coming back. That spoiler alert, that happens in episode 6.
Okay,
a very special episode.
So Nora, I guess, takes no for an answer, and so she and Abraham don't follow up on each other. So
to speak.
Okay. So after another promo featuring Kelsey Grammer and Martin Lawrence, we go to Chekhov's custody hearing, and I was wrong. I should drink, because last week I said, if Zach says, don't be late to dad twice, I was like, sure, Zach's dad F is going to be late. But F wasn't late. But instead, you know what, I'm tough on this episode, but I'll give this one bit of shock, and that Zach totally, totally emotionally worms his dad.
Absolutely, but I think it's the worm coming home to dig in the soil.
Right.
And that is F's terrible parenting skills.
And for Zach to say, you know, maybe I'll see my dad twice a month on weekends, ouch, that hurt Zach. I mean, sorry, that hurt F. I think Zach was telling the truth, probably.
Zach's just doing what's best for F. God bless him.
I know, and what's best for the city. We need F tackling this worm problem.
I would like that. Now, in addition to the worm problem,
yeah,
we also have a rat problem in the city.
You mean Matt from Sears?
No, I don't mean Matt from Sears.
You're trying to get away from this custody hearing, but let's go to outside the custody hearing.
I would do anything to get away from
the custody hearing. I thought this was real interesting in that they were making F kind of be a douche. I mean, he was a jerk. He was in the wrong. Leave Zach alone. but he suddenly starts attacking Kelly kind of out of the blue, and Kelly, as we all know, is right up there with Nora, my strained crush. And I loved that Kelly totally put F in his place. He's being a jerk.
He is being a jerk, but maybe he just got a little cocky from how good his wig looks today.
Right. He thought, you know, it's rocking. I got the blowout look.
Mm-hmm.
But it really hurt, let's be honest. It did hurt F to see Matt from Sears, you know, kind of consoling his son, Zach.
Yeah.
And so I don't think that makes it cool for F to have this blow up on beautiful Kelly and to say, hey, you tried to coerce my son into getting away from me. But, you know, I guess F's in his lowest point until worm monster pilot tries to eat him later. But
you know,
this is the emotional low.
It is, and I think it's also proof of why Kramer versus Kramer didn't have any vampire zombie scenes in it. So, it's not what I want to see out of F, but let's let him get it out of his system and get to the good stuff.
Now, somebody who's got to get something out of their system is Bolivar. Here's our first meeting with Bolivar. And he's there with his manager / prostitute getter.
Yes.
And apparently the manager's
I think those are redundant terms.
Okay, so the manager's like, listen, our sales are getting even higher. You were on the plane. You bit a bitch. I mean, like, that drives album sales, drives single sales on iTunes. Like, I don't buy a music unless a guy's been in a tragedy or bitten a woman.
Built her career.
Why do you think I downloaded all those Taylor Swift songs?
I don't know about you, Bubba.
You don't know, but yes.
I have not seen Taylor Swift in a single episode so far, so I think she might be involved.
Well, who's to say?
I haven't seen her.
There are some people in the shadows.
That is true.
And she's 22. All right.
I don't know what that means.
All right, so F, he's let Nora go meet Crazy Abraham.
Yeah.
And F has decided, you know what all these bodies are missing? I've got to check up on this passenger who called and said his dead daughter came back to him. So F comes up to the house. This is a horror movie cliche, but also kind of fun. The door is unlocked, so everybody knows you're allowed legally in the United States that if a door is unlocked in a house, just start walking around it and explore.
And feel free to buy a movie on pay-per-view, help yourself to the fridge.
Right.
And, you know, hop in the blood-filled tub. Why not?
Now, one of the things I was questioning as we were watching the show is you can tell it's daylight, and this is a house with a lot of windows, and so there's sun everywhere. So we all know about vampires, and including our rip-off Michael Jackson earlier, they don't like the sun too much. And so this kind of creature that was watching him was kind of staying away. So F goes up. Why are you looking in the bathroom? Let's be honest. He's like looking for people. He's like, hello, hello, is anyone here? He goes straight to the upstairs bathroom. That seems like a bizarre place to look.
One of F's Achilles' heels.
Oh, yeah.
As a hero, F has a very small bladder. So,
you know, speaking of small bladders, Bolivar.
Before we talk about the one guy that Abraham doesn't need to apply, send a coupon for his moil work on the show. I thought it was a little weird that F didn't take too much notice put too much emphasis. You know, he didn't seem to care that there was a bathtub full of blood.
And hair. And
hair.
Didn't care. But then as F gets a call from Nora, he leaves. Who was lurking in the shadows but bald girl from the plane?
The little girl. Now, she had a sort of a...
Yeah, what would you call that look?
Who does Jennifer... What X-Men character... Mystique?
Jennifer Lawrence is Mystique.
Right.
That's correct.
So she had that blue-green skin, which I thought was curious because all the other guys we've seen, they have a more pale look. So I don't know if we're going in that direction or not, but...
You know, maybe these worms, they're kind of gender-specific.
That is true. So
we get come back to our Russian rebel exterminator. What?
Bubba, I think we should go uptown.
Uptown. Hey, Mr. Mayo, what's going on?
I don't know what's going on, but I want these rats prosecuted to the full extent of the law.
Oh, my goodness gracious. The mayor's daughter gets bitten by a rat on her mouth in her bed? What the F? And I don't mean our hero F. I mean, or maybe I do. What the F?
Bubba, I could not tell you. What I can tell you is, in my brief experience, a lot of folks don't know this, but when I was working my way through Pasadena Junior College,
right,
as an exterminator
at PJC, sure.
PJC, sure. Go fighting redbirds. So, what a lot of people don't know is right. that a rat will mm-hmm. typically stay exactly where it's first seen.
Oh. Well, that makes it easier for our rebel exterminator.
Yeah. And they always travel alone.
Yeah, they're only one. Right, so if you catch one rat, yeah. then the problem is taken care of.
You're all set. No more necessary
Oh,
work.
Give me a break. And so then there's this great history lesson. Did you know the mayor's suite, mansion, whatever you want to call it here in New York, was built on a cigar factory?
The old Midtown Cigar Factory. Now, actually, was that the mayor or was that one of the mayor's big financial donors?
Oh, that's a great question. We didn't see a wife, so no. maybe... Yeah, this, I don't know. This is when you're uptown. I don't get uptown much.
Most mayors are married.
You know what? Let's not assume. De Blasio is married.
De Blasio is married. Thank God.
Okay, so do you think... This show hates Priuses, it hates Sears, and do you think it now hates cigars? Or do we like the fact that our rebel exterminator stole a cigar, that that's supposed to mean thieving is cool, kids?
I think that's exactly what it means. You know what else is cool, Bubba?
What?
And in all seriousness, I wish we had...
Finally!
I wish we saw a little more of this from this show. So when we got to see all the rats scurrying into the river.
Oh, yeah, that's fun little, yeah.
So small little side effects like that, I think there's a lot of opportunity for it.
Oh, I agree.
And I feel like we're missing out. So I'd like to see a little more of that. Chuck, Gilly, that's my nickname for Guillermo, Carlton, all the writing staff. I know you guys are listening.
Amen.
You're big fans of our show, just like we're big fans of yours. A little more of those unexplained consequences and side effects.
No,
please.
I think that'd be good. But do you have any speculation on this kind of Pied Piper scene where all the rats are... It was kind of a bit bizarre. All the rats are kind of running towards the river, but then they're also coming out of the sewers near the river. So any speculation as to what's happening here? Do the rats fear the worms? Or what's
no,
going on?
I think it's just further evidence that we cannot... neglect our infrastructure and, our wastewater management. That's all, Bubba.
What do you... I'm going to speculate. I'm going to speculate that these worms, they've got to eat something. They can't, you don't want to immediately start eating humans because it could raise suspicion. So maybe mm-hmm. these worms and these monsters and these dead bodies are eating rats. The rats know it. They can smell fear. They can smell dead people. And so they're just running for the hills. So that's my prediction on the rats.
That could be. That could certainly be. I don't know what was going on.
No.
But I am sure.
You are.
That we will find out.
Just like we found out what happened to Robert Davi.
Good old Robert Davi.
So speaking of rats, hello, it's Jim and his seemingly cancer-stricken wife.
That's true.
Are you allowed to be a complete evil bastard if it's to help your wife get better? Is that true?
How many years have they been married?
From the looks of it, they don't have any kids, and she doesn't have any hair. Coincidence?
I think it could be.
I don't know. What do you have? We can't tell how many years they've been married.
Over 3 years, I think it's okay. Less than 3 years, no. You gotta let her die.
Okay. Write in to us at Twitter, at Fit and Trim, that's FitenTrim, when you feel, how long would you have to have known your wife and been married to your wife before you can destroy a city for her?
Exactly. And if not the world, people.
Yeah, that's a good point. This could be destroying the world. All right, so now we go back to our passenger.
Anne-Marie.
Anne-Marie is in this scene, but what's this guy's, I've already forgotten this.
Ansel, good old Ansel.
Good old Ansel. His friendly dog is no longer happy with him, and
nope.
So maybe dogs can also smell the rat, smell these worms.
Yeah.
Ansel is not feeling well. He goes to the fridge, and what does he see? A steak that's just marinating.
Big,
and it's
juicy
all
steak.
Juicy is the key word.
Yeah, and maybe, is it possible, I'm just going to throw this out there.
Sure.
Is it possible that that steak, there was only one, maybe the steak belonged to the dog.
Ooh.
And the dog was trying to warn Ansel away,
Ooh.
Saying, hey, Buster, that's my steak.
Well, you threw that out there, and I'm going to leave it out there. What do you think, if you're Anne-Marie, what do you think when you see your husband kind of going nuts and drinking steak juice?
Well, I all sorts of things run through my brain. Mainly is why hasn't he still cleaned the gutters?
Dang it, Ansel!
Yeah, I don't know. It was a little unsettling, I'm not gonna lie, but we're sort of in that weird point. Ansel seems to be fighting off. Excuse me, it was my pacemaker.
Yeah.
Sorry for the interference. But Ansel seems to be fighting off the urge to attack other people a little bit better
than Bolivar did.
Than the little girl.
Right.
All of these folks. So,
well, they have talked about, I'm glad you're mentioning this more, because I thought about it during the last episode, but it didn't really have a natural place to come up. But they keep talking about how humans can love. And so maybe Ansel's love of his wife, love of his children, love of his dogs is why he's been able to hold off a bit better.
That could be. I would like to see that play out a little bit more.
And you know what we see a little bit less of is, sure enough, Gabe and Bolivar's junk. And so we start here with the scene where Doctor to the Stars, kind of a Conrad Murray, to poor man's Marilyn Manson, Gabe/Bolivar. The doctor's like, yeah, I'm wearing a hip scarf. Just tell me, I'll get you this, I'll get you that. But when Bolivar kind of flashes him and say, hey, do you have any help for this? The
skedaddle.
Whoa. He doesn't see any. I think he's seeing some shrinking junk. What do you think he's seeing there?
Because
the show, thank God, doesn't show us.
It did not show it. But I guess I got to say, I mean, if it's not going to be an actual wiener, you know, just a bunch of makeup, they could have just thrown something down there, right? You know, right. Props.
Right. The prop department could have done, but I'm glad they didn't. And Bolivar.
Well, so are the prop people, I'm sure. But
right. That's not the point. Cast it and they're like, okay, 10 times smaller.
That's not the point.
So Abraham gets back to his store, which has been closed all these days, but it was Sunday. That's fine. He's back at the store. We meet maybe another character. And this is some kind of hustling young scamp, some street
urchin. The teenage girl
with the butterfly tattoo. With the access to the internet that maybe Abraham doesn't. She's like, okay,
right.
Here are the names and the addresses of all the people on the plane. And Abraham's like, thank you very much. Here's your, he gives her an Xbox. Oh, that's sweet. Sweet deal.
That was a PlayStation, huh?
Oh, no, you're right. It is a PlayStation.
What are you going to do? Who knows? Abraham doesn't care. He's got people's
only
heads to chop
off. Only one controller, Abraham? Not cool.
Not cool, but in Abraham's defense, Sarah, his telltale heart in the basement, needed the second controller.
Aw, so, that's sweet.
It's for true love.
All right, so he sees in one of the very second name on the list of passengers on the plane is our good boy Ansel. So maybe next week we'll have some exciting Abraham Ansel action.
I hope the dog is on Abraham's side.
I hope so, too. All right, so we're back with our pilot. What's his name? Captain Redfern.
And I just, before we get into this scene, which I thought was a lot of fun, I think everybody probably enjoyed this scene. I just want to circle back and mention that we saw a man's penis get flushed down the drain just a few minutes ago, and it's still...
Oh, wait, no, we haven't hit that scene.
Oh, I'm sorry, everybody.
Sorry. We're about to.
Oh, well, forget.
Circle back.
Spoiler alert.
We've just got some kind of setup action in our only UV light of the episode.
That's
right. Where they put the UV light over Captain Redfern. They can see all these worms. Come on.
Now, Bubba.
Come on, doctors. Do something.
Bubba, back down, okay? Unless there are at least 125 visible worms underneath the surface of a patient's skin, you should not intervene.
Okay.
Keep them in the bubble and just let the worms keep snacking away.
So they're like, look, we got to operate on Captain Redfern immediately. We smash cut from that thrilling action to Zach looking at his dad on his iPad, and he's kind of getting emotional. Then he goes downstairs. And what does his hot mom, Kelly, what's she doing? She's scrapbooking.
She's crying.
She is. And she's why do crying. You think she's crying? Because the last time she had any interaction with F, he was being a total F.
He was being a bit of a jerk. I think she's crying because she's in such a boring scene.
She's like, why can't I have any action?
That's exactly.
But this is the family drama. F has to have something worth saving,
mm-hmm.
not just all humanity.
Not just humanity or his wig.
Right. All right, so then we go to Regis Airlines headquarters, which is, easy place to get into. No, and we see the CEO is there all night by himself. Now, you don't think when there's this crisis he would be all by himself, but no, he would be by himself.
Yeah, his wife kicked him out of the house.
And look who comes in, Judd. Here comes Mork.
Poor man's Christoph Waltz. Waltz is in.
Whoa.
If you will. And now, I was a little confused by the strategy, because he talks about the CEO of the airline writing a note,
right?
That we you know, figure is going to be some sort of suicide note. But before the CEO has a chance to do anything, he blows his brains out.
Yeah, and so this was a chilling scene. I think it was certainly an effective scene, but it was also interesting. Why do you think the bad guys have to do this? Like, they want it shut down. They don't want people looking into the airline. Is that why they're doing it?
A lot of
people, I think that would make people look more at the airline.
A lot of people don't know this, but poor man's Christoph Waltz had a lot of Regis Air airline miles expire last year.
Oh, wow.
So this is a perfect opportunity.
Perfect opportunity.
To wax him. And I suppose if he can... if he's this, you know, vampire Nazi who's been alive for hundreds of thousands of years and is feasting off everybody, I suppose he could probably fake the CEO's handwriting as well. But I think it would have been fun to hear Mr. Palmer dictating a little bit. That's
That would have been good. That would have been. All right, so now we get to the infamous junkless scene of our boy Gabe, a.k.a. Bolivar.
A lot of people will think of this as an homage to The Godfather, a horse's head scene.
Oh, yeah. Well, in addition to the infamous, hey, I'm going to take a leak. Whoops, I'm releasing more than I should.
Yes.
His eyes do the imitation Christoph Waltz kind of...
They do the shutter snap.
The shutter snap.
Yeah, they do. I think we're getting somewhere. With good old Gabe, and I think the clock's ticking on his manager/pimp.
Oh, that is a great point. Now, let me ask you something. A lot of us, you know, me, you, Voldemort, we want to live forever, which theoretically these vampire worms will help you do.
Right.
But would you want to live forever if you no longer had a...
Well, you know, that's a great question. I
want you to think about it for days and write a dissertation on it.
I'm gonna have to think about it a lot. I'd like to see, now, does this new power, does it help Bolivar get into maybe some nice restaurants? Does it help him get reservations at fancy hotels? Because that would be a mitigating factor.
Man, that is just creepy stuff.
I'm not saying
okay,
it's
so
a deciding
that happened to
factor.
Bolivar. What's going to happen to the high-priced, annoying attorney? What's going to fall off of her?
I think actually, and for you listeners under the age of 12, please, earmuffs. I think it's going to be more her.
Okay, so Trader Jim comes in. He's not a doctor. Why is he coming into the surgery prep room or whatever?
He's there
to say, hey, my wife got in. And so then they just kind of say goodbye to him. And they go and see that the pilot, Captain Redfern,
Paging
is missing.
Dr. Redfern.
And the nurse, you're going to get fired, nurse. You better hope the union's strong. She's like, I just left him alone for a minute, and he's gone.
He's gone.
And so why in this hospital, where there was this epidemic patient there who could have this deadly disease, like you didn't have people quarantining, making sure people weren't going in?
Well,
and
I think it's because of Obamacare.
And then when he disappears,
people still have to share hospital rooms.
And then when he disappears, it's not like security can look for him. It's like our three heroes have to look for
him. Right, and it's a good thing their cell phones penetrate through walls
and go down in the basement. My cell phone, I work in a basement. It never gets reception.
No, not at all.
All right, so who finds him? But Trader Jim. And I thought Jim was sure as good as dead.
Yep. Maybe this is comeuppance.
But for whatever reason, Captain Redfern, maybe because he's old, the worms are old and slow. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't snap and get
him.
Or
maybe they smelled him. They smelled that he was a traitor. And
they're like, yeah.
Knew what was good for him. Actually, and I hate to bust up your flow here, Bubba.
My flow is linoleum.
But we heard this with a couple of the other victims.
Yeah.
Where we heard their names. We heard their names being whispered by this rumbling voice.
Oh, great. No, that's a good... Well, what? The monster, right? The big bat.
And how on earth would the monster know their names? I'm curious.
Well, great point. I think that it's a supernatural monster. It can do supernatural things.
Fair enough.
It can do, you know, it doesn't have AT&T. It can reach out through Verizon or other networks.
Supernatural or not, it's rude to call someone by their first name unless without their permission.
Right. Now, this pilot, he literally had Jim pinned up against the wall, tried to do the old tongue worm at him, missed. Then Nora came in. I was really afraid Nora, the other woman, would die.
I was very afraid.
But he missed her. Then good old F shows up, and literally he doesn't try to get close. He tries to do long-distance worm tonguing.
That's right.
And F really didn't have to try too hard to miss. He was like,
In Captain Redfern's tongue worm's defense,
yes,
the wig is somewhat distracting. the wig goes one way.
The worms come
the
out.
The head goes the other.
The worms comes out and they'll go aim for the hair. Whoops! Where's he going?
They move in two completely different directions.
And so then it's a horror movie thing. He's down for the count, but as soon as he grabs Nora's leg,
yep.
F goes all fireman on him.
That extinguishes
him.
He does. He certainly. Certainly does.
His life was extinguished with an extinguisher.
That is an accurate description of what happened, Bubba.
What did you think of his smooshed-in face they show at the
end?
Well,
it was an odd smooshed-in face. There didn't seem to be that much blood, and it didn't seem to be made out of an actual face. this is another change that happened. So
now, hold on.
I'm holding.
Something, let go.
Yes.
Something
Sorry.
Your own. Okay, now listen. Why would smashing in a head kill the worms? Like, the worms need the head to live? This is the heart is what pumps blood. I'm a bit confused. I would think you'd almost, like our good boy Abraham was saying, you have to burn this mother friggin' body.
Yeah, that is a great point. And maybe the headless captain will come back to haunt them.
Ooh, and his head is still his face is concave.
He'll have a little trouble getting around, but yeah.
Yeah, he will. All right, so that's the end of the episode. I thought it was a strong end of the otherwise kind of slow and pace-setting episode. But where it sets us up for.
Yeah.
You know, F, he's seen a coffin / box disappear in under a second.
Yeah.
He's seen all these freaky things. He sees bodies disappear from the morgue. But finally, he's not going to be able to just pretend, la-di-da, no big deal.
No way,
Jose. He's going to have to face the reality that this is a big monster. And so... even though this episode I'm really, really tough on, I think where we're going could be some fun, evil monster action. What do you think?
I'm looking forward to it, and I hope that's the case.
I hope that's the case.
And I also hope that F starts taking sword fighting lessons.
I hope so, too. I hope, you know, we need the heroes to come together. It feels like the heroes are our team of F and Nora, combined with Russian Exterminator, combined with Abraham, combined with... Maybe Gus,
yeah. And maybe 25 other people that have not been
right, that we haven't
yet.
Met yet. So I'm ready. I'm ready for this to become a battle.
Yeah, I'm
and
looking
so,
forward
to it. It's going to be fun. Keep downloading. Tell your friends. Talk about us on social media. We want to be your source for kind of, you know, the water cooler talk about this big budget show from FX, The Strain.
Yes, and we have a big budget too,
right.
By the way. So we're the right
podcast. Big,
podcasting.
Big budget. All right, so... once again, you can reach us on Twitter and tell us your thoughts. You do that on the handle @FitAndTrim. That's FitAndTrim. @FitAndTrim on Twitter. So, for Mork, this is Bubba saying we'll see you next week on
Got Your Milk.